Why do we have to do an intro video? Recording started.
You just put recording started.
I know, it's intense now. Do you feel like the level of tension has gone up since I pressed that recording button? Like since 20 seconds ago when we were talking about other things?
No, anything I say can and you will be used against me in the court of internet public opinion.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you've got to stop saying all that terrible shit about your anti-Semitic remarks or your racist remarks. Yeah, that thing that you were saying about how you think that when someone was born a dwarf that they should be clubbed over the head, I think that was a bit much. You probably shouldn't have said that.
I've been watching the movie 300 too often.
300? What? I don't think I've seen that one.
That's the old Spartans, and they chuck the babies off the cliff if they're...
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, 300. This is Sparta! Yeah. I have watched that. I was very stoned when I watched that as a young man, and I wasn't really... Not that there's much to follow. I just remember very intense colors, a lot of striking reds. And once, was it Damascus's servant or Bitter gets kicked down a hole? And I thought to myself, wow, this is a lot. And then there's like some guy who's born with a bit of a deformity and he dedicates his entire life to being part of the forward pack. And he said, nah, mate, we wouldn't even put you on the back line. And then he is the guy who goes against them. Is that right?
That's the one. You've pretty much got it. It doesn't really portray the Persians in the most flattering light.
Nothing does. The Persians are always sort of marked as the bad guy. If you ever read any of like, we've talked about Alexander the Great before on this podcast, but in any of his histories, he's always marked as, he's always, the Persians are always the baddies in general.
There you go.
Poor old Persia.
Yeah. He did go and attack Persia.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
Tony,
Mark,
we're not at your house.
Are we not?
No.
Yeah, we're not. We do have beers,
I'm still
though.
At my house. We have beers. I'm drinking out of a can.
I am not at my house. This is not my house. I am, in fact, you are freezing a little bit. So I apologize, people on the internet, that you're going to see some frozen versions of Mark. Maybe you prefer him this way. Who knows? But maybe when the recording comes through, it'll be absolutely crystal clear. But actually, you know where I am right now, Mark? I am in a boathouse, believe it or not.
A boathouse?
A boathouse, yes. You heard me correct. A boathouse. So it's basically like a little nicely made, it's like a hobbit hole, basically, like a little shanty on stilts over the water. And instead of having a backyard, there's a flipping boat just out there, you know. So
maybe that's why your internet's terrible.
Yeah, I'm on stilts on the sea here in Whangarei. I'm in the Whangarei Marina, believe it or not. I'm up in Northland, and if I had a dog, I'd go to our friend's Four Paws dog. I would. We take care of
him. Going to check in on him. Go for a run with the dogs.
He runs with his dogs, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, you
like
to run.
What was his name? I forgot his name.
Nate, I think.
Nate Dog. Nate Dog, who runs with dogs.
I'm terrible with names. You put me on the spot with that one. I'm pretty sure it is.
What do you mean you're terrible? You're quite phenomenal with names. Like, they've basically got to be playing.
No, it's Brad. It's Brad. Who the hell's Nate?
Well, Nate Dog, I thought that he was a early 2000s hip-hop act, wasn't he? Nate Dog. That sounds like a... I'm sure that was a thing. Don't quote me on it, but I'm sure, but don't quote me. Mark,
so
how
business.
Are you in your house?
So we're not here at your place. I'm at my house.
Yeah. How's it going in there?
It's okay.
Yeah.
My
are you standing?
Are coming on. So, yeah, I'm standing.
All right. You're like, it's like a stand up desk episode.
Yeah.
You know,
basically
they say that sitting is the new smoking. So I'm sitting here being unhealthy. And you're there.
Look at me.
Can you do a couple of star jumps for us?
No.
Just give us a lunge then. Some sort of physical activity to indicate
that
you're...
I went for a run this morning, so I'm done on physical activity for the day.
Tell me about... I want to hear about your run, but I also did something strange physically activity wise. But tell me about your run. How far did we run?
I went for 10Ks.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. That's I haven't been for solid, a 10K run right? for a while.
Yeah.
What kind of pace were you running?
I did it in just over an hour. So slow and steady.
Slow and steady. So about 6 minute pace. Just over something 6 minute
like
pace.
That. Yeah. I ran the end hard. I like to start off easy. Like some people like to go hard at the start. That's not me. I like to start lazy and then save all the energy for the big burst at the end.
Yeah, fair enough. You like a sprint finish. Oh, my microphone is coming down off this table. I need to tighten it up. This could have been a big drama. Is this an unflattering angle of me right now?
Oh, every angle is flattering well, for you recently, because since you've lost all those kegs, you are getting complimented like you're going to have the biggest ego.
Yeah, I'm like the belle of the ball. Yeah, I appreciate it, but yes, I've lost some weight. Thank you, everybody. Every second comment
tuned in for the first time in a long time, they're like, "Holy shit, look at this guy!"
Yeah, I think last week we actually got more viewers than we usually do, just out of a bit of like Stephen Donald Beaver rage baiting.
I said that would happen. I called that.
You did call it. I saw you were so late to the party. You were like, "Oh, I really missed the boat, but I'll do a video about with my dad saying low
that
level."
That was Gazza. Gazza just came into my house and was like, "We're going to talk about Stephen Donald today, Mark." And I was like, "Okay."
Oh, really? Oh, I thought you were just wheeling the old boy out to like get some.
No. He had a real bee in his bonnet about the Stephen Donald comments. And then I told him to go and watch the Stephen Donald podcast with Kirsty Stanaway. And he kind of calmed down a little bit, but he had some pent up like rage
animosity. Really?
Yeah, he was real, but he doesn't usually come in that fired up. Like sometimes if there's some news, I'll be like, "Dad, do you want to do a video about this?" But no, he actually was like, "We're gonna talk about this."
All right. And you said, "Okay, father, I'm your son. I'll do what I'm told." You're drinking a bit of Fiji Gold there, I see, mate. Fiji Gold. Great Fiji beer. How's it going down?
Well, it's been paid for by a sponsor of ours, so it's going down mightily well.
Before we get into the sponsor, I'll tell you about my weird physical activity.
You need to tell us about your physical activity, yes.
I did. So a couple of weekends ago, I was drinking, went out for dinner with some friends of ours, and the female, she's my mate. I've known her for ages. She's a legend. Okay. But I was trying to get her to go for a run with me, and she was like, "I'll go for a run with you if you come to a Pilates class with me." So
I seem to remember this was on the cards for you when I was leaving our last podcast. You were arranging this. This was on your to-do list.
Yeah, I went yesterday. I went on, Sunday morning. I did on a pro forma machine. Do you know what a pro forma machine is?
I do not.
It's like this rolly thing where you got to sort of roll up and down and you put yourself into all sorts of weird positions and stuff. It's quite taxing, but it was enjoyable. I enjoyed it, believe it or not. It's good for I'm trying to build up leg strength at the moment so I don't get runner's knee. And it was good.
You hurt yourself running recently, so you've been off the running, but now you're on the Pilates.
I'm on the Pilates. I want to get back on the running. The running's fine. It's just once I get to around about 8-ish to 10Ks, my knee starts going, "Fuck you, Tony." And it's not so good.
Mm.
Yeah. You're freezing on me. Am I freezing on you at all?
Every now and again, but I can still hear you when you're frozen.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you fine. I apologize about the freezing. We're in different places. This is what happens.
Yeah, this is why we like to usually do this in person.
Yes, absolutely. You're not really picking up the same. Usually we're magic together in person. We really are. Incredible.
It's just go.
It really is. Oh, my bloody microphone's falling off this effing table. This table's got a rounded edge. And the rounded edge is what's really making this a little tricky.
Let me ask you a question, Tony.
Yes, I do have a cream for that thing you showed me.
I went to Rainbow's End on Sunday.
Oh, ba-boom. How was that?
Yeah. Well, it's New Zealand's only like theme park. It's like a small version of any theme park you've ever heard of. It's
fine. It's just a bloody theme park. It's
like any other Disneyland, but with way shorter queues.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't. It's freaking expensive still.
It is very expensive. We only tend to go there if the kids like decide they want to go there for their birthday, and it's like if you go there, you're getting less stuff. They're like, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, I don't take other people's kids. There's no like birthday party there. Screw that.
But yeah, it's like when you go to buy tickets, they have like finance packages and stuff. You're like, geez.
Yeah, we got them from Grab One, so we got them on like a discount site because they were doing a sale. Anytime winter comes around, they start doing a sale. But anyway, apart from me being a cheapskate, I was also being Mr. kind of dull looking at rugby jerseys while I was in the queue. So I wanted to ask you, while I'm in the queue, right, I'm making notes on what jerseys I'm seeing. I don't take photos because a lot of the people wearing rugby kit was children, so I don't really want to just like be snapping photos of other people's kids because that'd be a bit weird. But I was taking notes, and it wasn't just
that would be dodgy. Exactly. I'm glad you didn't do that, Mark.
It wasn't just rugby; it was also football and league kits. What do you think was like the number one kit that I saw?
Auckland FC. 100%.
Second is Auckland FC.
Oh, number one's the Warriors then.
Number one was the Warriors. I saw four people, adults and children, in Warriors gear, three in Auckland FC gear. You did a tally. Yes.
Good for you.
The stats good for you, mate. The key events. I didn't see a single person in Blues gear apart from my own kid, which is a bit sad. There were two All Blacks jerseys.
You see All Blacks jerseys around. The only person I see in Blues kit is you. I swear.
Yeah. Like, there was no Moana Pacifica gear. There was like friggin' Miami FC soccer. There was Arsenal. Oh, there was one kid in a Chiefs jersey.
Oh, really? Yeah. You know what was embarrassing? When I went to, by the way, I'm really having a time.
What do you do with your microphone? That's like embarrassing.
I'm having a real, real spell of, just pretend like this is natural. Okay. Just pretend like I'm just a guy not holding my whole microphone stand as it fell off the table.
Take it off the arm and just hold it?
I was going to, but I'm just trying to find the right moment to be able to do that.
Okay.
But you asked me a question, and now I can't remember what it was. Is this leading to what our sponsor is? Absolutely.
No. That's kind of a nice segue, but I just wanted to get your feel, and I just wanted to enlighten you that there was Penrith, Manchester City, Miami FC, Arsenal, the Roosters, but no Blues gear, no Moana Pacific gear, in a city with two Super Rugby teams.
So you saw Roosters gear kit?
I saw one guy in a Roosters jacket, yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. You know what was embarrassing about I went to the Super Rugby final last year, and obviously there were more Auckland fans there, but you know how you could spot the Waikato fans?
They had gear.
They actually had the gear on. They all had Waikato Chiefs jumpers.
Yeah.
At the final, there were a few Blues jerseys, but myself included, just dressed in like warm, going out to watch the rugby clothes. We don't get decked out in our colors. When you go to a Warriors game, like everybody's in the kit. You know, like it's a part of the whole experience. You get, you know, people are like festival atmosphere, get your colors on, do all that sort of stuff. But for some reason, we've just become so fucking lame, like in terms of expressing ourselves and expressing our fandom in rugby in Auckland. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it happened. It's just sort of, was it like that when we were a kid? I don't know. When I was a kid, we didn't even have the Blues. This is probably sounding fantastic through this microphone as I make a complete hash of my microphone situation.
We had NPC gear, right? We had the hoops.
Yeah. What you can shove those hoops up your ass. It's a shitty team, that one. We had North Harbour jerseys. I've never supported the Auckland NPC. Yeah, I'm not an Auckland NPC fan, as you know.
This is true.
Look, I'm free. I'm free. The tyranny is over. God, I really made it.
Now, Tony.
Absolute hash of that, didn't I? Oh, God. I apologize. Did I do that naturally? Did you barely notice that I had a problem with my microphone that whole time?
It was awful. I could hear the crinkling of you, like, touching the microphone. for much of it.
This is the worst podcast ever.
I don't know about that. We've done a lot of these podcasts. This is number 90 something.
Well, I was worried. What are we on? What are we not? This isn't 100, is it? I've lost.
No, this can't be 100.
Yeah, was because I said 93 how many weeks ago when I sent you that message? Maybe okay, that was
100. 3 or 4, so not that long.
So we really need to keep an eye on it because, although, yeah. Look, I was thinking about it today when I was driving. I was like, I don't have time to organize much anything special. And I was like, how are we going to do something special for the podcast, you know, the 100th episode? So if anyone has any ideas, low effort, low energy ideas, we're all ears, aren't we, Mark?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got any ideas?
No. Jeez, no.
Fucking great. Yeah. Fantastic.
But I do know that apart from looking at rugby jerseys and random other sports paraphernalia on children at a theme park, we're not just children. Some of the adults had them as well, but largely children. We actually have a sponsor this week who is like legitimately connected to rugby, not a dog walker, not like a boat deliverer, a rugby shirt.
That would have made sense if I was... The boat thing would have really come in this. Like, there's boat paraphernalia all around me.
That's true.
But it really worked out well. A big connection to rugby. What's the company called, Mark?
It's called Ruck and Rack. They have a website and they have Instagram. Where
you can ruck and rack me all night long.
Vintage rugby gear. They've got some pretty cool kits, like a 2001 Wallabies jersey, 2001 Crusaders jersey, 2003 France jersey. Like, their store has got some proper classic.
It's worth having a bit of a dig around because there's some pretty reasonably priced stuff on there, starting at just 15 quid. 15 quid, about 33 New Zealand dollars. Holy smokes. That's not bad for a rugby jersey.
Exactly. Like, I mean, a lot of the jerseys I've got, because sometimes people will either say, geez, you must have spent a lot of money accumulating this collection. Sometimes, like, yeah, a lot of them were sent to me, but heaps of them I bought from shops like this. I haven't used these guys because I only just knew about them recently. But, yeah, getting secondhand gear, classic gear, it saves a lot of money. And I'm a cheap man. Does.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we appreciate them. They've bought the beers for us this week. You can see the email or the website along the bottom of the screen. During this period, I've got a social league because they have lots of different leagues that they have jerseys for. I played that into it?
I got the Fiji Gold because it's the official beer of Fiji Rugby, and this is like an official rugby store. So rugby.
Wow. Holy shit. Next we're gonna get sponsored by the All Blacks. Like, it's just a stepping stone, isn't it?
I'm pretty
it?
Sure
like,
that's how that goes. Dog walkers, boat deliverers, gyms, and then
Irish pub bands. Yes. That was a good one.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how many weeks have we got these lovely people on board for? Is it just a single week?
I think it's just a single week so far. But all right. If they get some engagement from our lovely viewers,
good night, Jersey. We don't
the
have
thing a, is, we, they've actually offered a promo code as well.
Oh shit! No way!
Yes,
I was about to say, it's not like we've got a promo code. What's the promo code? 0800.
If you
big blowjobs.
If you use the promo code all in capital letters, so 2CGD5, you get 5% off. No, sorry, not 5% off, 5 quid, £5 off. That's more than 5%.
Right. Oh, that's better. Well done. So it would be, if it was £100, it would be 5% off. But
yes,
2CGD5, you can see it on the screen.
2CGD5, you'll get 5 quid off your purchase. They do international shipping, so it's not just people in the UK. And they do some pop-up shops at some of the Sevens tournaments around the UK. In May, they're going to be at the Manor Sevens in North London and at the Oxford Sevens and the Richmond Summer Social in London. So check out their Instagram. Tony's put it the thing, or I've put a link down in the thing.
So, staying for the beers.
Yeah. And they're rugby. They've got some really cool gear.
You rack and rack me all night long. I was trying to work that into that song. It didn't really work. What, a ruck and rack?
Ruck and rack rugby, yes.
Ruck and rack. Ruck and rack. That'd be a good name for a podcast, really, about just talking about rugby players' fashion choices.
Amazing amount of rugby podcasts out there. I keep getting suggested podcasts, which are probably better than ours, but haven't accumulated a viewership yet. There'll be like 10 views. And I'm like, oh, this is a new podcast.
I know. Is that because we have a rugby podcast? Because I often watch these ones with these, and they're fine. They're absolutely fine. They're probably people who know a lot more about rugby than certainly I do. And the only thing I always think about is hey, welcome along to the rocking rugby times, and it's just straight into the action. And I'm just like, just cradle the nuts for a little bit, work the shaft before you get me jizzing on the rugby. You know,
one thing that's interesting about recording like this, there's a little thing in the corner on your side, which is we've already been at this for 21 minutes. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's true. Usually we don't know how long we've been talking shit. But yeah, now it's right in our face. Yeah, I don't like it. We never time out the podcast.
We love the ambiguity.
We just go on feel. And then sometimes we go, and it's usually always around about an hour-ish. Just over an hour. And then there is, like last week, we were like, nothing happened. What are we going to talk about? And then we went for like an hour 25 or something. We just stretched it out. Yeah, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. But things actually happened. There was rugby this week. There was rugby with jeopardy, with stakes, ups and downs, twists and turns, late drama, all of it.
Where do you want to start?
Wasn't there, Mark? Hey, Mark, can you do me one favor?
Okay, just one.
Can you – just one. I want you – just lower it down a little bit. Lower it down. Just lower your head.
My camera.
Lower your head down just for a second. Just physically your head. Bring it down.
Oh, like that.
Oh no! Like, just but keep your face like face towards the camera. Just make sure your whole, because your head keeps popping out of there right now. And then, can you give me like some hilarious, like you just laughed or something, like something hilarious has happened, like
just for thumbnail.
Yeah, because your head's been out of the thing for a lot of.
Man, it's amazing. So good. I called it.
Yeah. Again, that was good. That I'll use that. That's fantastic. Round 20. Look, that's handy. I can see it's around 22 minutes. That's fantastic. Yeah. Because sometimes I'm looking for a natural time where you've done a natural smile, and then sometimes you've done it because you're such a tall mother trucker, and you're like this. And I'm like, he's not even in the frame. These are the things.
I know this is, again, not rugby, but I took my kids swimming today, right? And when they finish swimming, they have a little play. We go to the changing rooms, right? And the changing rooms are kind of hectic. The family changing rooms where you can kind of go in together with the kids. And door opened, and the dad and the son came out. The son would have been about 4 years old. And we were about to take that room because it was free. And the son just looked at me. He's like, that guy's really tall. And then he like yanked on his dad and was like, dad, look at that guy. Look at that guy. He's really tall. And the dad was shuffling him around. And then he got to the exit of the goddamn room, was like, dad, look, before we go, that guy, he's really tall.
You are circus freak tall. That's what you are now, officially.
Not really. Yeah, I'm not like look at the zoo tall. I'm just a bit tall.
No, you literally are. That kid was pointing and made a big deal of it. He's going to go home and tell his mom about him. They were like, we saw this guy. He was so tall. You're taller than 95% of other human beings.
Yeah, but by rugby player standards, I'm short. Basketball player
how
standards,
many,
I'm short.
How many rugby players are you hanging out with on the daily?
Yeah, not too many.
Not too many. You just talk about them all day. That's from a distance. You're like distance. Lurking from a window from afar going, oh, yeah. Geordie Barrett looks like he's all right.
I'm kind of used to that treatment when I lived in China. People be like, oh, foreigner. But like not in New Zealand. Never in New Zealand has someone looked at me and pointed at me and just like, freak.
Freak. All right. Rugby. Because this is a rugby podcast called
2 Cents Gets Distracted.
It's a rugby podcast. A rugby podcast. And they can find it on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. So we better talk about some effing rugby. Should we start with Leinster?
I think so. Do you want to start? That was massive. Should we...
Huge. Huge. And you know what? You know, tragic for Leinster and Leinster's fans. Another year without trophies, well, without that big trophy in particular. But high quality game across the park, high quality players everywhere. Northampton were just too good. Northampton deserved the chocolates at the end of the day. They absorbed a huge amount of pressure at different times of the game. I was super impressed initially with how they actually dealt with so many line-out drives on their line early on in the first 15 minutes. They kept on turning them away. And then when they were able to make that dagger blow with the amazing run from Finn with the chip ahead to get, was it Freeman across the line for that first try? That just kind of set the tone for, like, these are going to be defiant motherfuckers today. And they weren't gonna go down easily, and they didn't go down at all.
That's it. They did a lot with way less ball. Like, Leinster dominated the amount of possession and whatnot, but Northampton were just, when they did get the ball, they were clinical and brave. Like, they weren't afraid to, like, run it back. We're not just going to play safe and play territory. We're going to run it back at you, Bricks, and see if we can do some outrageous stuff.
Yeah, I lost you for a sec there, mate. Sorry, pal. This is like one of those. You were saying something about them being brave. And then I heard you go,
they ran kicks back, things like that, not just kick.
Yeah. And it was so nice to see, like, you know, when you're playing a team with the quality of Leinster, you're not going to beat them just by playing territory and possession. Like, you're going to have to throw footy at them. And they threw footy on that first try from, you know, the young man, that line that, Finn Smith takes was just an absolute dagger, beautiful kick ahead. And Freeman, who I thought had a great game all around. Like, so many of those Northampton players that I was not familiar with at all, I walked away going, geez, there's some real quality across that entire squad. So I thought he was pretty good the whole game, Finn Smith. Really good young man, really, really good player. And, you know, Leinster are a quality side, and they came back into it. There was that little period in the first half where Northampton went bang, bang, bang. Was it three tries in relative quick succession?
Yes, 29, 36, and 38. Those are the minutes of the tries. I've got it written on the whiteboard.
There we go. And then it felt like in Aviva, it was all of a sudden became a, for the remainder of that first half, it was like a bit of a funeral. Like, they ripped
hear the Northampton fans, like, doing kind of, it was kind of football chants, right? Like, ooh, ah, yeah, ooh, ah, yeah, or something like that. Which is not something you hear every day watching rugby.
No, they stopped singing. Well, the Leinster fans were very quiet. But then you heard them in full roar during that second half when they were blaring back into it. But you want to talk a little bit about Mr. Pollock? And I don't mean Sean Pollock, the great South African player.
Yeah, he was a hell of a player. Well, this guy's been built up a lot just in terms of the hype train. Like, he is probably the number one guy on everyone's lips in terms of Lions Bolter, Lions Bolter, Lions Bolter. Who's going to be a Lions Bolter?
Did you see, Rian did a compilation of people just saying Bolter. And we were the only, like, non-appearance. Like, we talk so little European rugby that we had not said the words Bolter. That's all I could account for it. We went on it. We were random podcast in all corners.
Yeah. He kind of put me on notice, like, not me specifically, but everyone, like, throughout recent weeks, like, even during the Six Nations, that, like, stop talking about the Lions, like, the Lions isn't here yet. So I've virtually done nothing on the Lions yet because, again, it's always seemed a bit early. But the team is getting named on Thursday, so probably.
Yeah, it's going to be on us before we know it. Probably a good time to talk. And I think that has he done enough to get into the there's just so many great outside loose forwards across the home nation. So – but if you're going to – he's making a pretty good case for himself right now. And he has that cocky factor that some of the greats have, you know. Like, you don't always catch it in the forwards The only guy kind of reminds me of a little bit with that cocky factor is Zinzan Brook. You know, Zinzan Brook just was mercurial, had all the skills in the book, could do everything, and also was a bit cocky, you know. But he was massively physical. That try that he scores where he gasses Prendergast. Was it Prendergast? That was massive. Like, you, if you're a number seven, to think that you can outgas, you know, that number 10, you've got to have massive confidence in your ability, and also you have to be able to pull it off. And he did.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, yeah, quite a player, and some massive hits and some massive moments throughout that game. You know, he really did. He really played very, very well.
I think if you're looking at like one-on-one Lions battles, like does Prendergast go on the tour? Does Finn Smith go on the tour? They're both kind of young guys. There's a few of those battles where in this game, the Northampton guy probably looked the better. But do you think that like one game is going to be enough to influence Andy Farrell, or do you think he's looking much more broadly?
I think it's one game, but it's not. It's one game in high pressure situations. So, and it's instead of like your round robin games where you're playing lesser competition and you're able to get up over Zebra or whoever, and you're going to look like an absolute demon. To be able to go up against the best, to go up against some of the other best players in the world and Europe, and to come out on top and to look classier than those players can, you know, convincingly in some cases, that's got a whole weight. That's selections, you know. That's why you have, you know, trial games and all that sort of stuff. It's kind of a mini trial. You know, does Farrell just revert back to his allegiances to Ireland? Who knows? He could. Hopefully he mixes up a little bit, that we get a bit of, you know, flavor across the team. But there's I didn't know really much about this Finn Smith character before this game. How good has he been? Because he wasn't a regular occurrence in the England team this year, was he?
He took over from Marcus during the Six Nations. Marcus started, and then Marcus ended up getting pushed to fullback to make way for Finn Smith. So, yeah, he's a real kind of one of those young gun players. He helped win the premiership with Northampton last year. So he is, you know, one of those guys who's kind of coming into that period where he's wants to make a claim to be, you know, the number 10 for kind of club and country. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, he's definitely in the conversation. But the thing with, I feel like Andy Farrell, based on the way he's always selected for Ireland in all his years in charge, he's relatively conservative. So maybe he gets the influence of the assistant coaches going with him, but I feel like if you're expecting a heap of bolters, you're probably going to be disappointed. There might be one or two.
I think in terms of if Farrell's done an incredible job with Ireland, but obviously he didn't get the chocolates at the World Cup with the once-in-a-generation team. He led them to a position this year where they didn't win the Six Nations. He obviously wasn't the coach this year, I know, but it's his squad. I think really the one thing that you could criticize Farrell for is his lack of creativity in his lineups, that he just goes back to the well, goes back to the tried and tested. And sure, that's good, and you know, it gives the players a huge sense of security that they've got, you know, a bit of a mortgage on that jumper. But other teams we'll work out those. Oh, shut up, Siri. Shush. We'll work out those deeply entrenched systems that they have in place, and there's just so much footage on those guys. And also, there's going to be times where those combinations get stale, and guys are on a slightly degrading track of form and all that sort of thing. And you've got to be able to spice it up and freshen it up and have that spice of competition in the team as well. And I think that's been a little bit lacking in Ireland. And I think that could potentially be a misgiving that he would make in Lions selection if he goes down that track again. I think that's potentially one of his possible failings. But we'll have to see, and I hope not. I hope we get a really lively mix of different players, and you know, with a huge amount of competition, rather than just saying, you know, the Leinster team put on, instead of green jerseys, put on Ireland jerseys. It wasn't incredible. I heard across the commentary saying that O'Brien was the only non-international player in Leinster. And I was like, fuck, dude. It's insane.
Yeah, he's looked one of the better players, to be honest.
He looked great, actually.
Tommy O'Brien actually looked really good. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like it's a hard one. Like Leinster are getting criticized for too much rotation. Like they've been playing their kind of B team in the lesser games in the URC and saving their big gun guys for the Champions Cup games. There's a bit of criticism coming for that because they've been doing it year on year and they keep losing finals and now semi-finals, saying last week the Northampton guys were pretty much playing their top team in the Premiership, and then that they get to kind of come in battle hardened, where the Leinster guys are maybe missing a trick. So there's definitely no right way to do it, eh? With the selections, there's always a balance between consistency, cohesion, and then like bringing in the kind of new talent. And definitely Andy does err towards the consistency side. I guess as long as they have he needs to stick to his guns in terms of going for a plan and not just kind of pick like a bland team that just has a little bit of everyone getting their way, because then I don't think you get the best out of anything. You know what I mean? He's got to pick the team that plays the way he thinks is going to win rather than just to keep everyone happy.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. He's probably going to have to back himself at all. But coming back to the game itself, I want to talk a little bit about Leinster, but just one thing I want to say about Northampton was I really, really liked how they're attacking shape, especially in the red zone. They reminded me a huge amount of like an NRL team, the way that their patterns. Like, well, I watch a shitload of NRL. Like, I watched almost this weekend. I watched more NRL than I did rugby because it was Magic Weekend and it was a good product. But they scored. They got pay out of it twice. Like going to I think they did it with Pollock on one side, where they go to the block player, then have outside runners on his outside, then use him as a playmaker to ball out the back to ball over the top. And Leinster is such an up and in defensive line rushing up on you. There was always space on the outside, but it's just a really, really great sleight of hand, giving the defense multiple things to look at. And they did it twice. I think they did it with Ram on the other side, and it went to Ram. Was it Ram who scored? Is it a 14?
Yeah, Ram.
It's really nice, really, really slick, really good. Just the way they did it, just it was multiple options, multiple things for defenders to look at, and just pretty damn clinical, really clinical.
Even
and
when it be a hell come of off, there was one time where they tried the Pollock move another time later on in the game, and I don't think it paid off, but it had the Leinster defense kind of at sixes and sevens long enough that when they went through a few more phases, they were able to kind of score from it. Like Northampton ended up bobbling the ball, but regathering it, and then I think spinning wide, and like Sheehan had to kind of like desperately charge it down or something. But their defensive line was looking kind of in tatters. Shot. So yeah, Northampton were able to execute that really well. So they were not favored to win that game. They were supposed to get beaten by, 20, 30 points.
What's wrong with Leinster? Why can they not get over the hump in these big games?
Yeah, I don't know. This is a hard question because Northampton played really well. Sometimes you just get beaten. But then also, you got to look at the team, the players, the resources that Leinster have got, and then wonder why they're losing this game at home, eh? I mean, there's all kinds of questions being asked about the rotation policy, about the guys not being battle-hardened, about Geordie Barrett, why wasn't he starting? All kinds of questions. Mm. But certainly Northampton were hungry.
Yeah, 100%. I thought Geordie actually played very, very well when he came on. I thought he made a big difference. That turnover that he got was huge. It was nice to actually see him out there and actually watch a full game where he was involved.
I think it would be a New Zealand engagement on the Champions Cup if Leinster had made the final, because I think that would be a story for Geordie Barrett to be on the Champions Cup final. But
yeah, anyway, maybe.
By the way,
my, You know what I kind of feel like, what it kind of reminds me of, this Leinster team, and this might be a little bit left field and a little bit New Zealand centric, but it kind of, it reminds me of the 1999 to 2007 All Black teams. When like they would beat everybody, they just looked, had too many good players, had too many, were too slick, were too fast, too athletic. Yeah. And would, you know, just game to game to game, just win. I some years were better than others, but some of those teams were just outrageous, and some outrageous players throughout those years.
Often decimating teams, right?
Just destroying them, and like looking like this is kind of not fair. This is these guys. This they're so much better. Like multiple Grand Slams during that period as well. Going to Europe, going, you know, almost unbeaten on multiple years as well. When it would come to big crucial games, like they would go into it just going, we know how to win rugby games. We win rugby games all the time. We're going to go out there and just win this rugby game. We're going to play the way that we play every week, where they get into the standard of like, it's not broken, let's not fix it. Oh no, well, we don't need to fix it because it's not broken. We win games. We've won all these games this year. We know our systems. We know our shapes. Let's just get out there and play it. Whereas the other team comes in, you know, 99 France, 2003 Australia, 2006 again, you know, other losses throughout that period as well, like where they come in and go, this is bigger than just another game. And they pull that emotive trigger and they go to another level, and they've got guys who play out of their skins, who, you know, are playing with pure passion and drive, and something beyond just professional athleticism. And that's what it kind of feels when they've lost in these big games, where they've come up against teams who are just like, we're not going to let you just ride over us. They are dipping into some sort of emotive well, whereas the Leinster players just seem as though they're just going to try and go out there and do the business, which they usually do every week. And when you do that in a big game, when there's more on the line, they've just come out second best. I don't know. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, probably to a degree. I mean, I remember Richie McCaw talking about that and kind of saying that the All Blacks really focused on mental skills after that, that like they had the skill sets to perform, but when the pressure came on, guys were making uncharacteristic mistakes and whatnot. So
yeah,
like, I mean, the Leinster tackle count, like it's always a hard one with Leinster because they play such a rushing defense, to look at their tackle count and percentages and whatnot and go, yeah, they're missing a lot. But I feel like they did miss more than they normally would have. And again, you got to give some of that credit to Northampton, but it's just, they looked a bit uncharacteristically easy to kind of break down. And like, you know, Porto gave away a bunch of penalties. So there were, yeah, just un-Leinster-like moments in that game from Leinster. But again, yeah, I don't want to take it away from Northampton because they were clinical at times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that's fair. Like, Leinster, like, showed grit and determination to come back into that game. You know, like, they did a lot of things really, really well. A couple of moments where, you know, there was a moment where James Lowe had Geordie outside him in space, but he just punts it out on the full, like, yeah, I don't know.
They had that almost try where, like, that hit the corner flag, and
that was a clusterfuck.
That was bizarre. But I mean, Northampton got a yellow card, and Leinster had another roll of the dice anyway, so I don't think that was like a decisive moment. The decisive moment came when they didn't score from the resulting tap. They had a few cool moves. I like the lens, the tap moves where they're like almost American football style, like, you know, blue 32, and then they like change like half of the way the guys are standing and whatnot. Van der Flair comes in to just
it's like moving on the scrimmage line. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that was quite cool. So I like that. I like when teams don't just like, you know, some teams are predictable. You're like, you know, that it's going to set for the mall, but then teams can prepare for it. So I like the variation. I thought that worked pretty well, but. Northampton stopped enough.
They did. They sure did. Do you think we've talked about this game for ages? We've got shitloads of other games to talk about.
Like, but international,
in terms of decisions at the end, should have they gone for posts?
I don't think with that last one, because Ross Byrne, I wouldn't back him to kick me one from the sideline at the death.
Yeah. There was that one where the number 8 had an absolute brain fart and took out O'Brien, and they would have taken it from the where the ball bounced off the kick. Mm. That was kickable.
Yeah.
It was in the 77th minute or something like that.
I wanted to go for the jugular. I mean, yeah, it's one of those ones where it's hindsight's 20/20, right? Like Chris Robshaw is still living that down for us doing it at England Wales at that World Cup where they went out in their own pool stage, England. So it's just one of those ones, isn't it? If it comes indeed. Off, you look like a genius.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's what you're not going to find here. No geniuses on this podcast. No geniuses. Should we talk about a different game? I didn't watch much of the Toulouse game.
I only watched the delayed because it was on at 2:30 in the morning. But that one was like Toulouse are the big guns, but they're without Dupont and Ramos and Kinghorn and Malvaca and a bunch of guys, and Bordeaux's at home with a back three of like freaking Peno and BLBRA and Jellybear 10. And you know, they got a shitload of really good players, Bordeaux. Big Ben Tamiyafuna coming off the bench. So
it was nice to see BLBRA and Peno actually combining nicely. There was that try inside ball to BLBRA. That was tasty, very tasty.
They looked like they think they scored like 10 unanswered points, and then Toulouse scored 11 in reply, and it was like, oh shit, Bordeaux started well, but Toulouse is going to come back into it. But
you were thinking, oh Bordeaux, no, here they come.
Yeah. I found the commentator quite hilarious because the first time he said Pete Samu's name, I think he thought it was French. He's like, Samu! And I was like, no, that's just Samu.
I feel bad because we talked about Leinster and Leinster and Northampton for so long. I've got very little to say about Bordeaux. But
the best thing you missed, I mean, Bordeaux were just really good at the breakdown.
Yeah,
and they had some clutch moments. I don't know if they showed in the highlights, but Luku kicked like a clutch 55-meter penalty.
Oh, I saw that. That was nice.
That was cracking. And then at one point, they won another penalty. The breakdown, and Jalibert kicked it like 5 meters. Like, it was a fucking hell of a kick. But put Bordeaux 5 meters out, they resultingly scored from. So it's just the clutch moments just went Bordeaux's way. I think they're a really good value for the win.
Yeah. Are they looking as though, and there was absolute ecstasy at full time, I saw that. Are they looking good value for the final?
I think they'll be pretty heavy favourites, to be honest.
You think they'll be what? Sorry, you cut out for a moment there.
Heavy favourites. I think Northampton are underdogs. Oh.
Yeah, right. You heard it here first, motherfuckers. Sorry, I keep swearing a little bit too much on your channel. I apologise. Do you want me to apologize? Would you like me to apologize stronger?
Profusely.
I must say, Mark, from the deepest, deepest parts of my dull, meaningless heart, I'm sorry.
Who do you want to win? Would you like to see Northampton win it or Bordeaux? I think it'll be a first-time winner for either one.
I feel kind of after just – you know how some teams will win you over after a game? You know, you watch a game. Northampton's kind of won me over. I really like the players what was the name of the number 5? I don't know who he is. I thought he was massive throughout the game.
Coles.
Good players. What's his name?
Was it Alex Coles, the big lock?
Yeah, he's another one with a dumb haircut. He's got the Pollock dumb haircut, but he looked like a hell of a player. So. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I would like to see Northampton get up after that, basically. But we'll see what happens. I'm not going to be really upset about it.
Still a couple of weeks away.
Oh, is it 2 weeks away? Holy shit, Nat. So next week,
Peno got injured in that game, so hopefully he's all right. He got injured on like 55 minutes, went off. So fingers crossed he's all right with a couple of weeks.
So 2 weeks. Where's it been played?
Cardiff.
Cardiff. Oh, Millennium Stadium. Hey, Mark, should we talk about some Super Rugby relatively quickly?
Yeah, we'll wrap that one up pretty quick, smart.
Yes. What did you think of this round? How was it for you?
We got a bonus point win Just
we did our very best not to, but we managed to do it. Just Angus Tarval won't enjoy that moment. That was a whiskey of all whiskeys. Do you understand that reference?
He knew to kick the ball out. We had like knock pass the ball to him.
He just needed to run out.
What was he doing? He not
two steps. He just needed to take boom, boom, and he was out. It was a totally flustered response from Angus. At least he caught the ball, Angus.
Yeah, he's like, why do I have the ball?
Why have we still got this? I'll get it out. And then threw it too far beyond his foot.
And then this air swinged with his foot.
Whiskey. That's a golf reference.
Okay, if you don't hit the ball.
Yeah, if you don't hit the ball, you made the shout. It's called whiskey. You made the shout people whiskeys.
But we won 40 points to 19. So we keep our playoff hunt alive with that must-win game, and that could be a vital bonus point come the end of the season.
You know what was actually nice about this weekend?
We spun the fucking ball wide, man.
Oh, yeah, that was good. I mean, just in terms of across the board and Super Rugby.
Tell me.
What I enjoyed this weekend was something that we've lacked for multiple years. Stakes, jeopardy.
Yes.
You know, teams knowing that they have to win, like multiple teams being going for those last couple of playoff spots, you know, it, having something meaningful on it. Like the rugby over the past few years by no means has been bad rugby, but it's almost been seen like we know who's making the playoffs pretty bloody early on, and it's pretty much everyone.
Yep.
And there were so many games where it was just like, all I'm watching this for is just for this particular contest, like who's going to win this game. And you would have to best all your interest in terms of this particular context rather than the wider competition, because there were no stakes in the wider competition. But adding the stakes in the wider competition has been great. And you see the players, it's more many, like the late winner from Moana, massive. Huge, keeps their season alive. It was fantastic to see us winning again. The Canes going back to back against two massive opponents, you know, going Brumbies, then Chiefs. That's pretty huge. And they were not looking in great shape, and now they're really starting to almost cement themselves in that top six. So, these are games that actually matter are so much more enjoyable, even for as a neutral. For sure. You know, when your team's not involved.
Yeah, no, that's huge. Like, I think last season it was basically down to the final week to see who's the worst team that makes the playoffs. Like, the team with the worst record that actually makes the top eight. Now it's like, no, someone with a fairly decent record is hunting the sixth spot. It's maybe us, maybe Moana. Yeah.
I still think, hand on heart, like, I think the Blues have played too poorly to make final. I think if it was a, you know, half of the teams are in, half the teams are out, we're out. Yeah. Like, but because there's just a slight majority, that's why we're still in it. You were paused for quite a while there with just looking up with your thing. I don't know how this is going to come out in terms of the recording, whether it's going to be just you pausing. Who knows? We'll have to see. This could be. 2 cents gets stilted, gets static. Yeah, you just did it again as I said it. You look like you're having a seizure. I apologize.
We won.
I do apologize. Yeah, we won. Yeah, great to see. And it felt like a game that we could lose as well. We've lost so many games that we should win this year, and it didn't feel good at halftime, and it felt like if it wasn't until like the last 20 where we kind of pulled away with it, wasn't it?
Did you notice in that game, I don't know if you watched it in full, but Stephen Donald, at one point when there was some contact, he used the line, there was a very low level of contact. I'm pretty sure he did it on purpose.
Nice work. Yeah. I wonder, he's probably still getting shit in his DMs, I'd say, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say so. The drill one.
Yeah, last minute win, wasn't it? Great to see against the Reds.
Beat the Reds, yeah.
Aren't those games special? Those games in Fiji still feel special, you know? Like they're capable of so much magic over there. Like the amount of last minute winners that have just sent their own fans into, you know, absolute ecstasy is so good to see. Like it's exactly when you're in Fiji, you know how we talk about, you know, we don't see enough rugby jerseys on the streets. Fucking, you know, so many Drua jerseys. So many Drua jerseys over there. It's awesome. Mm. Yeah, tons. Tons. They're through it, you know, and they want to talk to you about it. They're like, have you seen the Drua play? And then they're like, have you seen Naka Naka Bola 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 Fola play? And you're like, yeah, he's pretty good. Oh, that's a little racist, Tony. They'll say a long Fijian name and you'll go, yeah, he's pretty good. But
one thing that's good, I think, for Super Rugby is that the Drua are the bottom side, but they've knocked off the Chiefs and the Reds, who are teams who are going to make the playoffs. So that's a good statement on the parity of the comp. It's not like there's someone who's that far away.
They're on the road. Yeah. And that's a huge improvement considering what we've been dealing with the last couple of years. Like Moana's first two seasons have been totally pretty piss poor. And just no real fan gathering. But when, you know, like, the North Harbour factor, North Harbour Stadium, North Moana, like it feels like a real home game and, you know, getting a real following behind them. Getting Artie Sarvera, you know, as part of the team, you know, to lead that team has been pivotal, absolutely pivotal. But really, really good to see and great to see the Drua get up. I just love watching the Drua get up. So good. Yeah.
The Moana guys won down in Dunedin. That was the last game of the weekend. That was on Sunday. That was a must-win game for them. They'd fallen.
It was a must-win for the Highlanders too. So the Highlanders really need, and then they had it in the back. They got that try. Was it a rolling maul? The halfback is just on. Just effort play, manages to get a charge down. And regathers the ball, puts it down in the corner. Ba-boom. Mm. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Great game.
Yeah.
Cracking stuff.
You know, rugby has a lot of guys on the field.
Rugby has
a lot of other sports. A lot of players on the field. Not many sports have 15 on the guy, like on each team at one time. That's a lot.
Yes, right. Yes.
So I never thought like one guy can make that much difference to a team. You know, like in basketball, if you've got one star player signing, he could genuinely turn your fortunes around, because that's like, fifth of the team? But
20%.
How many players? Yeah, there you go. But rugby, it didn't feel like possible to like one guy to lift you up a couple of levels. But I think Artie, plus a couple of other good signings and whatever they're doing in the coaching, it's a bunch of moving pieces, but Artie, they look huge. So much better when he's playing.
Huge. And it's not just what he's doing, massive things on the field. Like his attacking game has been amazing. His post-contact meters have always been phenomenal. He's been great at the breakdown. But just his stirring moments of incredible leadership and showing the way, it can't help but have an impact on the performance of the other individuals, you know? So like, if you're talking about a player who just impacts a team by improving his own personal performance, that's one thing. But if you've got a player like Artie Sevier, who appears to not only be bringing in massive performances because of his, you know, own level of his game, but he brings everyone else's level up. They're like, it's quite a thing. He's a rising tide, and he's lifting all their boats. It's quite incredible to see. Like, and there's been times where he's played the first half and he's had to go off injured, and they've kept it up. You do notice the games that he rests when he's not on at all, that there's a lower level of performance.
Like the Blues game.
Yeah, that's right. But he's going to be playing. We playing them next week? No, are we playing?
Next week we are playing the Drua over in Fiji.
Ooh, that's a little tough. Mm-hmm. We need to win it too, don't we?
We've got then we've got the Moana boys the week after. So,
geez, we could have possibly looked at those two games at the end of the year going, geez, if we're in a tight spot, we should be able to win those ones.
That's a cheeky 8 points easily.
Yeah, but...
But no, not now.
Yeah, we could easily not win both of those. Probably only win one of them. And maybe lose them both and just go out in straight sets.
Possible. I think the Landers are done. I don't think the Landers can make it. The Drua, I don't think they can make it. They've both got a pretty rough
final. I think the Landers and the Drua are out. Yeah.
Yeah. The Canes, their win over the Chiefs. What did you think of that one?
Oh, yeah, it was quite the game. When you saw the Chiefs score in the last few moments of the first half, you thought, I've seen this movie before, just in terms of the way it's been going this year. And the Hurricanes were actually struggling to score tries. They were getting their points through penalties. So it'll be a gallant effort from the Hurricanes. But no, like Proctor has made a massive impact. His vision is not only just a really, really good attacking player, has really great footwork, and, you know, is great in the contact, obviously. But his passing game is pretty phenomenal. Yeah. Like he's a pretty complete player. He really is.
He and links I think he's, up so well, with everybody else. Like you look at a lot of teams, the top two passing players is always your 9-10, but Proctor's number three for the Canes because he's just involved in everything.
For me, he's definitely he's only played two games, but if I had to pick an All Black team, I'd rather have him than Rico right the second. And I think Rico actually played pretty well on the weekend.
Rico did play well.
One of the things I noticed about Proctor as well is he's actually really quick off the mark. His acceleration is pretty phenomenal too. Whereas one thing I'm seeing with Rico is he seems to get the ball and then trudge into contact, puts his head down and trudges into contact and doesn't go backwards, doesn't get beaten behind the gain line or anything like that. But you're not like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? Whereas you're just like, anything can kind of happen when Proctor's got the ball in his hands. But I think
different roles, I guess. But I mean, I look at the numbers and I'm like, oh, Proctor made 15 passes at the weekend, even if one was an intercept, which gave away a try. But 15 passes for a 13 is huge. Rico, I think, made three. So it's just, you know,
those are Conrad Smith numbers. You know,
he was pretty good.
I thought Conrad Smith was one of our greatest All Blacks of all time. I don't think that he gets the credit that he really deserves often. Probably Martin Nonno gets more of the flowers than he does these days.
Yeah.
But Conrad Smith was just a freakish player. Freakish player. Really, really great.
Yeah.
What did he how many tests did he get? Well, he was stranded in the 90s, wasn't he? Did he get 100?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's a big win for the Canes. That's a statement win.
Yeah. And like going back to back against what was it, the Brumbies and the Chiefs, like two of the front runners of the competition.
You would have thought that could end their season.
Oh that no, you could end their season. You froze completely there.
I said that could end their season.
Good. Have I been totally clear at your end? Hopefully, we get your feed as what's recorded.
Oh, I don't know. Okay,
we'll see. It's on your We apologize if there's been any
The audio is good, that's the more important thing. But anyway,
there has been a couple of moments where the audio has just been a little bit.
Okay.
It's not our highest quality podcast we've ever done, but a great week of rugby.
The Brumbies also won.
Yeah, pretty convincingly over the Waratahs, didn't they?
Yeah, competitive first half, but the Tars are crap away from home. Sadly, Suali scored a try.
Yeah, I saw that. He's quality, isn't he?
Hmm. And he got bumped off at one point, but I think that was the only tackle he missed.
I like Langy Gleason. I've always liked Langy Gleason. He got an intercept, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It was kind of half intercept, half strip on Lola Seal.
I like the cut of his jib. I really do. You know what's sad about this? I do really. I love a jib. You know what's sad about this weekend?
Tell me.
We can't play our post-match prediction, Joe.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Well, they
play next week because the URC is back this week.
They will play. Well, you'll look forward to that. I enjoy that game because it makes an entertaining feature out of the games I don't watch. Yeah, indeed.
There's four games this week in the Super Rugby.
Yeah.
The Drua home Blues.
Fingers crossed the Blues get up.
Fingers crossed. But the Blues lost to the Reds and the Drua beat the Reds. So the Drua can definitely beat us.
So you're playing rugby math on that one?
Maybe. Either way, it could be a good game. That's Friday, 7 o'clock. Also, after that's the Waratahs Reds. So it's a
state of origin.
There you go.
So you cut out for a little bit there.
The Reds back from Fiji.
Right, yeah, Reds back from Fiji, State of Origin game. And what's next?
Crusaders Chiefs.
Tasty. That's a tasty wee game. Is that a Friday night?
Saturday.
Saturday night. Oh, yeah, I like that. I think the Crusaders might get up. I think... Yeah, I think Crusaders might win that one. Who knows, though? Depends.
And then Force Brumbies.
Depends on who plays better. Force have got to get some wins sooner rather than later, don't they? Yeah. After a good start. It's weird. Like, I would love them to make the six, but I do not want them to make the six at our expense. So it's definitely in our best interest for them to lose. But it would be nice to, you know, what I would like is it to be a year where we're just sitting pretty in like 3-2 or 1 spot. And then we're just sitting there going, oh, it'd be nice if the Force can make it. It'd be great if the Drua got up. Moana, it'd be great to get them up just to get, you know, a little bit of variation in the top six. You know, some of these teams that have struggled a little bit. I hope one of them makes it, but just not at our expense. If I'm a Chiefs fan or a Crusaders fan, I'm definitely backing those guys to get up. But I'm not.
I think the neutrals want Moana.
Yeah, I love, they're definitely my second team now, 100%. And then moving to North Harbour Stadium really clinched it. Really clinched it.
Cemented it in.
The home of rugby in New Zealand, North Harbour Stadium.
The Moana channel commented on my YouTube video just today.
Oh, wow. What did they say?
Something like cheers for the something, Uso, something like that, yeah.
Nice one, Uso.
There you go.
It doesn't sound so good when a white guy says to another white guy, Shot oos. Yeah. Great stuff. Well, Mark, look, we talked about rugby, and we talked about rugby remotely over a relatively bad internet connection. And I apologize.
Thanks to the sponsors, Ruck and Rack. Their details are down there. Thanks for the beers, guys.
Yeah, and Ruck and Rack. I hope you're okay with. I hope it like came through fine. Hopefully, it was just what I was experiencing. But I've got a feeling that we've all been experiencing the static, and I apologize for that.
Sorry, team.
We blame Mark.
How far is it from Auckland to Whangarei?
A couple hundred, 150 k's or something like that. It's not as far as it used to be with that new motorway.
Time wise,
hold on. Let me. Time wise, yeah. Let's look. So to get home from where I am right now is 2 hours and 17 minutes. It's 166 Ks.
Okay. So
in the time it's taken to record this podcast, you could have driven hard halfway here.
Okay.
So how dare you?
Well, my in-laws are coming on Sunday.
Oh, I've got sort of in-laws coming as well. I've got my fiance's niece is arriving with us on Thursday night. And she's going to be here till Monday, and she's staying in the room that we usually record in. So we might have to record on Tuesday next week. Is that going to mess your week up?
It's going to mess up my rock climbing.
Oh, shit. But these are probably conversations we could have while we're not broadcasting up. Yeah, exactly. 100%. Awesome. All right,
so my in-laws are staying for 4 months. So.
Oh.
So next time, if you're in Whangarei, I might just drive up.
You'll be like, yeah, I'm sorry. I've got to go. I've got to really important thing to do up in Whangarei. I've got to get my dog walked.
Very important.
Oh, 4 months, mate. Jeez, yep. In your house. And you don't have the biggest house in the world. You have a fine house. It's a sturdy house, but it's not the biggest house in the world.
No, it's not. That's why we record at your house usually.
Yeah, so where are they going to stay in your house?
In my son's room. He's going to have to bunk in with his sister.
All right, okay. Bit of bunk time. All right, Mark. Well, good luck for that. I better end this recording. Check in. I'm trying to.
Left hand?
Weak hand. Yeah. No, it's a right hand. Right on right.
But if with both your right hand, it looks wrong.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
If I move my left hand there, then it looks like I'm shaking your hand.
We are such munters. Okay. Anyway. Great podcast, really one of our best. I really think we smashed it out of the park today. And next time
this is why we usually do it in person.
Yeah. Well, I thought we had some good chat, high quality stuff. Anyway, we've got to stop talking. All right, hi to everybody.
Take care, folks.